When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you've played a contact sport or are just a little bit clumsy, you're probably no stranger to concussions. They're part of the traumatic brain injury family, usually falling on the mild end of the spectrum.
What happens is we get some sort of force that's applied to the brain, and that can be a direct force. So you can think about two athletes colliding head to head, or it could be an indirect force if we think about like a whiplash mechanism from a car crash where the head kind of whips forward and backwards. And when that force is applied, the neurons in the brain are stretched. That causes the cell membranes to open up. And then the ions that propagate or cause the electrical signals in the brain, they sort of move in an uncontrolled fashion.
That's Dr. Stephen Broglio, professor of athletic training and director of the University of Michigan's Concussion Center. He says this disruption is what causes the headaches, dizziness, and nausea that often show up after a concussion. Thankfully, the brain is usually able to heal itself fairly quickly.
And so over time, usually in the course of a week or two, the brain kind of heals itself, the ion imbalance goes back to normal, and then the person's cognitive function, their balance, their symptom complaints all go back to normal as well.
It sounds simple, but there's a lot of science behind concussion treatment and the best path to healing. In fact, the guidelines are updated every few years by the Concussion in Sport Group, an international organization of which Broglio is currently president-elect. It analyzes scientific research around the globe to find the best practices for evaluation, management, and prevention of sport-related concussions. These guidelines were recently updated in 2022 after the 6th International Conference on Concussion in Sport.
So the international document, as you can imagine, is written in a way that it can apply to healthcare providers around the world, so that athletic trainers and physicians and all sorts of medical specialties, physios, if you're European, and in high-resourced and low-resourced areas.
Since the document covers so many different medical disciplines, the National Athletic Trainers Association tailors the international information down to only what applies to athletic trainers.
So our document, the NATA document, really outlines the things that athletic trainers should be on the lookout for, the things that we should be caring for, managing the athlete with. So kind of specific to our field of practice, but we are directly in line with the international group's recommendations.
This year, the NATA has officially updated its statement on concussion management for the first time since 2014.
So in about 10-year increments, you can imagine there's pretty substantial advances in the science and in how we think about concussion, how we assess concussion, how we manage concussed individuals. Probably the single largest area has been on how we manage the athlete after injury.
If you've ever had a concussion, you might remember a method called cocoon therapy. Basically, the patient was advised to stay in a dark room with no access to computers, TVs, or phones. Though this was very popular, Broglio says recent research shows it's actually a bad approach to treating concussions.
Because what happens as the symptoms of concussion start to go down over the first few days, the symptoms of being isolated from the world, particularly for our teenage patients, start to go up, and disentangling those two things becomes very hard.
Instead, studies have found that introducing physical activity early in the recovery process produces the most benefits.
So for example, we might have somebody, they're doing activities of daily living on one day, they go for a walk or a light bike ride the next day, maybe they can go for a jog the day after that. But we're never putting them in a situation where the risk of another injury is high. So this doesn't mean a day or two after injury, you're going to go out and run a half marathon, but it is doing your activities of daily living within that next day, so long as it doesn't exacerbate your symptoms more than just mildly. And then starting to work somebody back onto an exercise bike with some very light exercise or have them go for a walk.
Then they slowly get introduced back into their sport. Once the patient can complete certain benchmarks like sprints and sport-specific maneuvers, they'll be allowed to participate more.
So in ice hockey, we would put them back on the ice and they would, you know, move around the ice with the puck and maybe do some shooting. Then we would start talking about, okay, let's put them back into a non-contact practice. Then if that goes well, we move them into a contact practice, and then we can talk about moving them back into a game setting.
This major change from isolation into increased activity is part of the NATA's new focus for injury management. It's called a biopsychosocial approach.
Bio references the biological injury, and that's what we sort of talked about, is this ion shift across the neurons. Psychological is what is the psychology that the patient brings to the injury, right? Are they high anxiety? Do they have other comorbidities, psychological comorbidities around them, depression, ADHD, that you need to manage as part of the recovery process? And the last one is social. Like, what are the social and cultural influences around the patient that we need to think about?
To really cover the psychological part of concussion treatment, the NATA added a complete section in the document focused on mental health evaluations.
We have probably all seen and heard these horribly tragic stories of somebody has an injury, they become depressed, and then there's some suicide that follows. And really putting athlete trainers are on the forefront. They are typically in touch with their athletes daily. They know their athletes very well because they see them on a daily basis. And they can really be the ones that can pick up on some of these depressive signs and symptoms and then seek additional medical help to really prevent anything from happening beyond that.
It's no secret that an injury of any kind can affect your mental health. With concussions, Broglio says it can amplify existing issues or even create new ones.
Some of what we see is sort of what we've colloquially termed kind of like fragile egg syndrome, right? So if somebody comes in and they have anxiety before the injury, if they have depression before the injury, the concussion seems to magnify that. The other side of that is kind of, again, how the social components play into it. So you can imagine a teenage athlete in particular, where the team is their social group. So if they have this injury and they are removed from the team because they can't participate, in some cases, injured athletes sort of get ostracized, right? It's like, well, you can't practice today, so just don't come, right? Then there's this kind of like social isolation that happens. And then that can play into the depression and the anxiety.
Those social factors are heightened the further your athletic career goes.
This is where concussion reporting becomes a challenge, because if athletes fear that they're going to lose their job or lose their starting spot, they may try to hide the injury because they don't want to be removed in the first place. So all these things sort of kind of intertwined with each other. We're trying to piece them out one at a time.
And in 10 years, it's possible we'll have more research that turns these recommendations on their head once again. But this continuous flow of information is how we keep athletes healthy and lower the risk for long-term effects such as CTE. Luckily, since we do have so much research available, it's not often that myths are able to stick around. However, there's one that comes up time and time again. So to finally put an old argument to bed, is it harmful to sleep when you have a concussion?
Absolutely not. When I started in this space 25 years ago, it was sort of check on somebody once an hour, every other hour while they're sleeping and that sort of thing. And again, this is something we've learned over time, that when you do that, you wake somebody up to make sure that they're okay. It disrupts their sleep. They don't get a good night of sleep. And then the next morning, they'll tell you, like, I feel really bad. I'm like, well, is that because I disrupted your sleep every hour on the hour last night? Or is it because you have this concussion?
What the science actually shows is that sleep is restorative. Whether you're healing from an injury or simply going to bed after a long day, sleep gives your body an opportunity to restore energy and improve brain functioning. You can find more information about Dr. Stephen Broglio and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
We've seen dramatic responses in patients with very little options, and we're really excited about that. And these are patients that have widely metastatic disease. They've been heavily pretreated.
A new hope for cancer patients who are out of options.
But first, learning the life skills that can help you become successful.
It's really for just anyone who's like, why does it seem like everyone has this figured out and I don't?
All that and more on Radio Health Journal.
I'm Elizabeth Westfield, host of Radio Health Journal. If you enjoy listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
I had a catastrophic fracture from a minor fall, and the doctors were just shocked at how I had shattered my bone. They couldn't even do surgery.
Imagine being diagnosed with osteoporosis in your 20s. How one woman built a career out of her own health struggles. Then.
It is kind of odd, isn't it, that we are so fascinated by these people that we're never going to meet and that we want to talk about them and know the latest thing about them.
The psychology behind celebrity gossip. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Viewpoints Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.